Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. BD use, while wrong, is an individual choice that does obviously affect the games. PED use does not have the they affect the games, but they don't affect the game in such a way where the potential is to lose the game. I know the argument's been made repeatedly about Pete Rose. He bet on his team to win. Like, that's a good thing. Really? The rule in baseball is pretty simple, if you've read it. If you bet on another team, let's say, for example, and this is anybody in the organization. I work in the Phillies organization. Somewhere. Doesn't matter if I'm a player, manager, front office, whatever. And I place bets, and I place a bet on the Twins-Royals game. I'm suspended for a year. It's spelled out. If I bet on my team, if I bet on a game that my team is involved in, it's a lifetime ban. Simple. The rule is actually that simple. And it's not a bunch of flowery legal language. It's that simple. You bet on another game that you're not involved in, it's 1 year. You place a bet involving the team that you work for, you're done. So in that regard, and I agree with Kevin, the Hall of Fame is a separate thing. I say let them vote. Put them on the ballot and let them vote up or down. Up or down. Guess is they'll vote down. But these are very smart people that love the game. Here's the ESPN.com survey of 21 Hall of Fame writers. Now, obviously, it's a small sample size, but it's still a sample size. It's not like taking 21 Pro Football Hall of Fame voters because there are only 46 of them. There are more when it comes to baseball, but these 21. Will Commissioner Rob Manfred reinstate Pete Rose? 100% vote no, 0 yes. Will Pete Rose's name ever appear on a Hall of Fame ballot? 86% of them voted no, 14% voted yes. So that would mean of the 21, 3 of them said yes and 18 said no. That's at Penn State math. If his name is on the ballot, would you vote for him? 52% of them said no. 48% said yes. Which means he would be, on a sample size, 27% short of where he needs to be. He needs 75. Will Pete Rose's name ever be voted in? Will Pete Rose ever be voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame by either the writers or the Veterans Committee? 81% said no, 19% said yes. Did the recent report about Pete Rose betting on baseball as a player change your opinion about him? 62% said no, but 38% said yes. Brendan Roberts' quote on this was, "I now feel what has been reported might just be the tip of the iceberg." Jerry Krasnick, "The new report made it much more difficult for people who defend Pete and try to advocate in his behalf." Howard Bryant, "If confirmed, it confirmed, if true, what I've always believed. You don't start betting on your sport after 25 years in it." Compared to those caught using PEDs, should Pete Rose's transgressions be viewed equally, more seriously, or less seriously? 52% said that what Rose did is more serious. 33% say they're equal. 14% say less equal. And again, the Claire Smith quote is, to me, it's the money quote. She said, "Gambling has always been baseball's transgression that carries an automatic death penalty. Here's the key. Because of the evils it invites into the door. I know those who defend Pete Rose say repeatedly, yes, but he bet on his own team. While accurate, don't be naive." You're now down a really, you know, the deeper in debt you get, and if you're in debt to the wrong people, that is an impossible road to get off of. They own you. You've now invited the evils into the door. In light of the recent report, should Major League Baseball still allow Pete Rose to participate in the All-Star activities in Cincinnati? 86% said yes, 14% no. I think he should be allowed to be at any ceremony. I don't think it's any issue. At this point, is there anything Pete Rose can do to help his cause for both reinstatement and the Hall of Fame? 76% said no, 24% said yes. And the three quotes were Mark Saxon. "It seems like the more he does, the less he helps himself." Jason Stark, "Who thinks Pete should be in? I can't imagine what Pete could do in the next decade or so to reverse public or private sentiment." Pedro Gomez, "There's only one person to blame for this entire mess. Peter Edward Rose." Look, just sit down with the commissioner man-to-man, one-to-one, shut the door, and tell him the whole deal. You want to know why? Exactly. How much worse off would he be? At least he would have come clean. There's no way Pete Rose is going to be worse off in this situation if he tells Rob Manfred the truth, the whole truth. He's still banned from baseball now. He's banned from baseball now. He's not on the Hall of Fame ballot. So there's no way by him sitting down and telling the commissioner, here, let me lay it all out for you, he'll be no worse off for doing it. The only way he can improve his situation is by telling him. It's the only shot he has, is that by admitting the whole deal to him. This is when I started. This is how I did it. This is the whole thing. You know, these are the things you got to stay away from. I mean, him telling the truth. Well, if I tell him the truth, boy, I'm in deep, you know, I'm in deep trouble. Deep trouble of what? Okay, he's already on the bottom line. There's nowhere else underneath the line to go. I think Kevin would agree with that. I mean, just tell him the deal. Because, look, by telling him the truth, even if it's really ugly, he's going to be no worse off than he is right now. Kevin quit.
I'm listening intently.
In other words, you don't know what to say.
I really don't have anything to add to that.
I'm just saying.
No.
But I'm just saying. I mean, exactly how worse off would he be? He wouldn't be. Just tell him. Hey, tell him. It's actually telling him the whole truth is actually his best shot of getting something out of this. And again, if he were to sit down in front of me, and I'm the commissioner, and he were to do that, I'd say, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm not going to let you in the clubhouse. I can't do that. The rule is very specific about that. But I'll let you work for the front office of a team. Has to be run through us as to what the job is, but I'd let you run a front office. Right? I'll let you participate in any ceremony, and I'll tell the Hall of Fame that it's our recommendation that you be put on the ballot for the writers. I think it's the best scenario you could ask for. But that's if he manned up. All right, the Pirates, the hottest team in baseball entering, actually had two pitchers contribute offensively the last two games. We'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Been interesting the last couple days. AJ Burnett hit a home run for the Pirates, and Francisco Liriano batting all of 057 had a big single to knock in a run that he scored a run. And I've had all these people going on, see the DH, it's a sham. Oh, please, enough of the nonsense. Have the Pirates pitchers hit 15 home runs in the last 15 years? I mean, total? David Ortiz hit 15 in 2.5 months. Nelson Cruz is at, 20 in 2.5 months? Just because one guy steps up and hits a home run. Oh, my goodness. Here are the all-time home run leaders in the history of baseball for pitchers.
I was going to say, is this for pitchers now?
Yeah. Wes Farrell at 38. Wes Farrell played in the 30s and 40s. Bob Lemon, 37. 40s and 50s. Warren Spahn, 35. Played in the 40s, 50s, and a little bit into the 60s. Red Ruffing, 34. Red Ruffing pitched in the 20s, 30s in his career. Now, Earl Wilson, a little more recent. Earl Wilson pitched in the 60s. Don Drysdale, 50s and 60s. He had 29.
John Clarkson at 24 in his career. John Clarkson played in the 1880s and 90s. Bob Gibson, 50s, 60s, early 70s, 24. Now, Carlos Zambrano, okay, 90s and 2000s. Walter Johnson. Walter Johnson hit 23 home runs in his career. And Walter Johnson pitched in the 20s and 30s. Jack Stivetts, 21 home runs. He pitched in the 1890s. Mil Pappas, 20 home runs. Okay? 60s, early 70s. Dizzy Trout hit 20 of them. Dizzy Trout was in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
With a guy named with a name Dizzy, he's definitely from the 30s.
Yeah. Jack Harshman. Jack Harshman pitched in the 50s for the White Sox. He had 19 home runs. Cy Young, 18. Okay, 90s and early 1900s. Okay, Mike Hampton. Far more in the 90s into the early 2000s. Mike Hampton was a really good hitter. He was a 300 hitter as a pitcher. 16 home runs. Jim Cott. 50s, 60s, 70s. 16 home runs. Schoolboy Rowe, 40s and 50s, 16 home runs. Jim Tobin, 16 home runs. Freddie Fitzsimmons. Freddie Fitzsimmons played in the 1890s. 14 home runs. Babe Ruth, 14 home runs. There's your top 20 all time. There's two guys in the top 20 that hit home runs after 1972. Two. That are in the top 20 of all-time home run hitters among pitchers in the last 43 years. Two. Really? This part about strategy in the game, hey, please don't give me the more strategy in the game National League argument. Oh, look, you're going to pinch hit for a guy. The game's changed. Okay, pinch hitting for Bob Gibson or Juan Marichal in the sixth inning of a game? Because guess what they did that doesn't happen now? You can do this, Kevin. I have complete confidence. What did they do back then that they don't do now?
Took batting practice?
Oh, just killing the show. They threw complete games. So if you pinch hit for them in the sixth or seventh inning because you're behind a run, you just took out the guy that's going to pitch the complete game for you. Today, if a pitcher goes seven innings, they've had one heck of an outing. Pinch hitting for them in the sixth inning, what does that do? You took an inning away? Maybe. It doesn't carry the same strategic weight of the 50s and 60s and somewhat into the 70s. It doesn't carry the same strategic weight. You're not pinch hitting for Bob Gibson here in this spot. You're not pinch hitting for Gaylord Perry because they're going to throw a complete game. Now I'm pinch hitting here in the seventh inning. Top of the seventh inning, I got a pinch hit for him. I'm on the road. I got to go to my bullpen. Guess what? Most teams want to go to their bullpen in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. Everybody's trying to turn into a six in a game now. It completely takes that strategy off the table. The game's different now. You're not pinch hitting for a guy that's going to throw a complete game for you. You're pinch hitting for a guy that maybe will give you one more inning. Maybe. Because that's how today's game works.
Well, I mean, the decisions they have to make. Ooh, oh. And then there's the double switch. Oh, my goodness. They make double switches in American Legion baseball. Oh, I'm blown away. Here's another great National League strategic moment. The eighth place hitter leads off the inning and gets a base hit. Okay, let's take a poll. How many people in the park think the genius manager is going to bunt? Everybody in the park knows he's going to bunt. He can't hit. What are you going to do? You can't put a hit and run on. You know, hit and run, last I checked, hit and run strategy. Can't put that on. Have him swing away? You're not going to have him swing away. Is it a double play waiting to happen? The only thing you can do with the dude is bunt him. Then there was the game the other night in Pittsburgh. The 14-inning game. Pitcher spot came up. All right. Mike Matheny is trying to somehow end it. Pinch hits Ted Cruz. Cruz's catcher. All right. He had no players left. He was down to two relievers and no players. And he had no backup catcher. The Pirates had no backup catcher either. Cervelli got thrown out of the game early. And they had nobody left on the bench, and they had two relievers remaining. Well, see, that's what strategy does. No, that's what stupidity does. Okay? You want a pitcher playing in right field? Because then somebody got hurt? Where's the brilliance in that? Even the NFL is the foresight to have a third quarterback available if the other two get hurt, so then they activate him in the game.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharfing, and a gutsy move. Kevin's driving another vehicle.
And we're showing off the 2016 Ford Explorer XLT this week. It's available now in 2016 models of base, XLT, Sport Limited, and Platinum. And the new Explorer Platinum series has a standard 3.5 V6 EcoBoost with intelligent four-wheel drive and the terrain management system. It's also available in the base model XLT and Limited with a 2.3 EcoBoost four-cylinder engine. Some of the new colors for this model year, shadow black, blue jeans, and guard. And one of the cool new features is the new perpendicular parking, reverse perpendicular parking. This will actually back you in to a parking stall. Now, not only do you have the regular parking assist, the parallel parking assist, but now if you're going to the grocery store or a department store or the mall, it'll actually back you in to your perpendicular spot and also help you get out. Very smart vehicle. Check it out. The 2016 Ford Explorer, available at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, just off the trucks, as a matter of fact, at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury.
All right. Back to pitchers and hitting in a moment, actually right now. I just went through the career leaders in home runs, of which two happen to be in the last 43 years. Two. That's it.
Zambrano, now, one of them?
Yeah, Zambrano. Carlos Zambrano is one of them. But these are such exceptions. And the highest career batting average of any pitcher with 200 to 500 at-bats is Jack Bentley at 322. Awesome. Except Jack Bentley hasn't pitched a game in the major leagues in 90 years. I mean, all of them. I mean, Babe Ruth hit 304 as a pitcher. They only took his pitching numbers. I mean, Ruth was a, 344 career batting average? He had 304 as a pitcher with 15 home runs when he pitched. But these guys, there isn't a single person in the 200 to 500 at-bat category as a pitcher
that pitched a game after 1936. 500 to 2,000 at-bats. Highest batting averages. There isn't a single pitcher there pitched a game after 1949. None of them. Zero. And that goes from 288 down to 259 for the top 20. We mentioned home run hitters. It's because you're a home run hitter doesn't mean you're anything else. Wes Farrell was really good. He had 280, so he was always great. Bob Lemon at 234 in his career. Red Ruffing, 269. But Warren Spahn, 35 career home runs, hit 194 for his career. Earl Wilson hit 35 home runs. He hit 195 for his career. Don Drysdale, 29 home runs. He hit 187 for his career. Bob Gibson was a career 206 hitter. Mil Pappas, we talked about his 20 home runs. You know what Mil Pappas hit in his career? What do you know what his batting average was for the career? Go ahead, give it a shot.
I have no clue.
123.
A buck 23.
Right? As great a hitter as Mike Hampton was, you know what? And Mike Hampton's career batting average was respectable, but you know what his career batting average was? His career batting average was 246. Lefty Grove hit 15 career home runs, hit 148. I mean, on and on and on we go. There are no pitchers here. I mentioned Jim Cott finished up in the 70s. His career batting average was 189. He had 15 career home runs. There's nobody here. The pitcher, when you talk about the pitcher being an out, the pitcher is an out 8 to 8.5 times out of 10. It's just, and that doesn't include sacrifices. Sacrifices are not at-bats. It's just, I don't know. You take Cy Young, I mentioned Cy Young, he has all these records for, well, in part because of longevity, he's a 210 career hitter. I mean, if you're a 210 career, if you're hitting one, almost all these pitchers are below 200. And by the way, in the list I gave you, those are the top 30 of all time. The game goes back to 1869. There are no pitchers on that list in the batting average wise. They're in the top 30 batting average wise. And by the way, the lowest, the bottom average in the top 30 was 259. Right? So that's the top 30, lowest average 259. None of them pitched a game after 1953. None. Zero. This is what you want to see? Look, I grew up, obviously, in New England. And when I was growing up, the pitchers hit no matter what. Okay, so I saw pitchers hit. And then the DH came in. And I was, 14 when the DH came in. And I spent time, obviously, there with the DH and American League, following the American League and so forth with the DH. But, I mean, I've lived in Pennsylvania longer than I've lived in New England. I mean, I've lived here now, obviously in college, 9 months out of the year, and then, after that, full time. So, I mean, I've lived here now for 39 years. 39 years. I've lived in a National League state. There's nothing about National League baseball where I sit back and go, wow, that's cool. I love to watch the pitcher hit. Wow. If pitchers hitting is such an awesome idea, and it does so much for the strategy of baseball. Why is it all 15 National League managers use the DH when they go to an American League park? Because you have the option to hit the pitcher, you know. If two American League teams want their pitchers to go out and hit, they can go hit. One team wants that pitcher, he can hit. Actually, it was at Fenway Park one night when Joel Finch got in the game, and he had to hit because they had to take the DH out. And he came up, and he flew out to right field. And everybody gave him a standing ovation for hitting the ball. There's no question that the game is shorter when the pitcher doesn't hit, when the pitcher hits. When the pitcher hits, the game is shorter. No question. And I've talked about length of games before. But I think baseball has actually been progressive in many ways. Interleague play. Adding the additional wild card game. And originally, I wasn't in favor of it being a one-game playoff, but you know what? That actually is pretty smart. It puts all the marbles on one game, and I've locked in and watched it. Even though my team hasn't been involved, I've locked in and watched both the American and National League one-game playoff games because the stakes were there. This is in addition to the wild card that they added earlier. The wild card followed by the wild card game, interleague play. I think the pace of play rules have really worked this year. I think they've done a great job with that and adding the replay. Now, I tweaked the replay in such a way where they can, you know, get the decision a little quicker. That'd be great. But that was smart, too. They've been progressive in a lot of ways. Now, you have all these interleague games. Unify the rules. Pitchers are not hitting in college, and pitchers aren't hitting in the minor leagues. I'm going to do a game tomorrow night in West Virginia between the West Virginia Black Bears and the State College Spikes. The Spikes are a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate. The Black Bears are the Pirates affiliate. Two National League teams, and they're both using the DH. Their pitchers will not hit. These are two National League teams playing each other tomorrow. And when I go up, State College goes up to play Williamsport or vice versa. Two National League teams, Phillies and Cardinals. DH. Because everybody knows in baseball, these organizations need to see, evaluate as many players as possible as hitters. That's why the DH is valuable to them. And they need their young pitchers to lock in and pitch. Pitchers go for years in their careers without hitting. This is before they get to the majors. They go for years and don't hit. They don't pick up a bat. Hey, I have never seen a pitcher here pick up a bat. Ian McKinney was drafted out of Orlando, Florida, fifth round, Cardinals in 2013. He is in his third professional season now at the age of 21. Ian McKinney has not picked up a bat since he was in high school. Yet you expect them to go to the major leagues against the best pitchers in the world and tell, hey, go ahead, you'll be great. And, you know, and most of them are lousy bunters on top of it. And this thing about strategy, you know, I might have to pinch hit for him in the sixth inning. Most pitchers are going six or seven innings now anyway. Nobody throws complete games. Oh, once in a while a Max Scherzer, once in a while a David Price. Scherzer now is in the National League, Price is in the American League. But the game has changed. You're looking at your starting pitcher now, and if you get seven innings out of the guy, it's a bonus. You get eight. Wow. In the bygone era, 50s, 60s, 70s, right? You had complete game after complete game after complete game. Yes, the strategy of pinch hitting for a pitcher down a couple of runs in the sixth or seventh inning does become a decision, because that is your guy out there who's going to give you a complete game. People don't throw complete games anymore. Thus, the decision to pinch hit for a guy is less than it used to be. What was I going to do here in the sixth inning? Here it is, the top of the seventh inning. My starter's gone six. I was going to get maybe one more inning out of him. Most pitchers get to the 90 to 100 pitch mark by the time you get to the seventh anyway. Unless you're having a tremendous economical night. I mean, these are things that, again, the thinking on pitchers hitting and the reasons behind it, you know, the strategy and things like that, okay, while on the surface sounds, oh, okay, that's actually a pretty deep argument, until you actually go deep into the argument and realize that it's not 1972 anymore when pitchers threw complete games, and then it really was a decision. Most managers now in both leagues are really tapping that bullpen, or at least thinking about it, in the seventh inning anyway. What's the difference? There isn't a difference. It's a better game. To me, it's a better game to watch. You get the pitcher out there. You might be able to extend him a couple of innings. You go to the ballpark. Say Cole Hamels is pitching for an American League team. You might be able to get 8 innings out of Cole Hamels. And guess what? You go to the ballpark, you're like, hey, it was great. Hamels threw 8 today. It was great, man. I loved it. They didn't bring in any of those idiot relievers. We'll come back with more in a moment. On News Radio 1070 WK. Baseball has done a good job of, I think, being proactive in recent years. The wild card was a very good move. The second wild card game and a winner take all, I thought, ended up being a really good move. I think it's put more teams involved in the months of September and August and September. There are going to be 22, 23 teams that have a shot of getting into the playoffs when August rolls around. Keeps interest going. I think they've done a better job along the way with pace of play rules this year. Adding the replay was really smart, progressive, smart. Now, they have to tweak it in such a way where they need to speed the process just a bit. But that takes time like anything else. But, you know, Kevin's complaining to me tonight about there's a DH tonight in the All-Star game because it's in Cincinnati. Who cares?
No, my point is, if you can do it for an All-Star game, then why can't you do it for A, all of the games, or B, at least all of the interleague games?
Look, you got to unify the rules. Okay, the NHL doesn't sit there and go, hey, the Western Conference plays with this set of rules, and the Eastern Conference plays with this set. NBA, no, we got a three-point line, but they don't. AFC, we have a two-point conversion, but the NFC doesn't. I mean, come on. Okay? Unify the rules. And I think the best way to unify the rules that really makes sense for the modern game where you're trying to get more offense into it, but also the fact that you have established a pattern in the minor leagues that keep pitchers from hitting for years is to go with the DH in both leagues. And believe me, there is not going to be a single fan that's going to sit there and say, I'm no longer watching, pitchers aren't hitting. There'll be no fan that sits there and go, I'm not going to watch anymore, the pitcher doesn't hit. They may complain about it, but they're not going to stop going to the game or watching the games. I mean, in other words, when the Phillies go to Fenway to play the Red Sox, you sit there and go, I'm not watching. Cole Hamels isn't hitting.
Actually, I think Cole Hamels might be better than some of the guys on the bench right now.
But I'm saying Aaron Harang's not going to hit. I'm not watching.
I know in AAA they use the DH. How much further below do they use DH?
You know what? I'm not so sure. I think in AA they use it in the National League parks.
They use the DH?
No, they
or
use
the pitcher hits in the National League parks.
Pitcher hits, okay. I think in National. I think in AA. But that's it. Everywhere else you get the DH.
See, I think you should be able to, in Major League Baseball, you make the DH, then it goes in. No, hear me out. I think in Major League Baseball, if you use the DH, it needs to be at all levels. Okay? But I don't think I would like it any lower. I don't want to use the DH in the college. I don't want to use the DH in high school.
I want to use the DH everywhere.
No. I will disagree with you there 100% because a player in high school is not necessarily going to be playing the same position in college and then later on.
Why? Most high schools are not going to use the DH.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't want that. I don't want them using the DH.
But most high schools aren't going to use it because usually the guy pitching is one of their better hitters.
Exactly.
Okay? And then usually they trade him out to be the shortstop if they go for relief. Okay? But once you get to college, you start specializing in what you got to do. Once you get to college, you start locking in on where you're going career path-wise. And if I'm the St. Louis Cardinals, I'm sitting there, and I mentioned Ian McKinney. He's a good young prospect, by the way. McKinney's a good young prospect. He has some upward mobility. There's no doubt in my mind he'll get to Springfield in AA here at some point. But I don't give a damn with how he hits at State College. He needs to pitch for me. I've got to see him as a pitcher. Which means he's got to be locked in 24/7 on pitching. I don't need him wasting time in the batting cage taking swings. And I don't need him running the bases.
But now we're going to have courtesy runners for the pitcher?
I'm saying that's
no,
why
I know.
The
I'm
DH.
Making a joke.
I don't want my pitchers running the bases.
That's another good reason to eliminate the pitcher's hitting. You're right.
Look, baseball has made great progress. You've got to grow up, unify the rules. There isn't a single fan that's going to say, that's it, I'm not watching any more Pirate games. They went to the DH.